from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you said, Scoots, what creature would you be if you were in a fantasy world and you could do the beginning of a sleep podcast in a way that was almost a pun or almost funny? I'd say I'd be a monognome. You'd say monognome. Isn't that the one gnome to rule them all? And they'd say, well, I just think it was monotone and mononome almost rhyme. But anyway, you know why? If you're confused, it's because I'm confused, because it's time for, what in the mononome are you talking about? Well, I'm a mononome, and this is my mononana home, full of, you know, stuff like that, nonsense like that. Bless this mononana home. Where lives this mononome? On my mantle, I would have a metronome, a silent. On my mantle lies a silent metronome. Anyway, I better get going. Anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And Sleep With Me is here for you, but if you need something more right now, if you're having a tough time, make sure to check our show notes. There's links to organizations that you can take steps to get more help right in our show notes. And Sleep With Me believes that Black Lives Matter, and I believe that you should take some steps to support the Black members of our community. So there'll be links to that in the show notes as well as our sponsors who are sponsors who enable us to bring you this podcast twice a week for free. Thanks so much. All right, but Scoots here, and this is where I talk about, like, supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast I need you to hear is where I pop my peas, if you please. And I'm in need of supporters. The sponsors are what enable us to be here for you free twice a week. And the listeners who support the sponsors and let the sponsors know about it, it really does change things. It makes the sponsors say, wow, that people really do support us because we sponsor Sleep With Me. So if you've bought a Relief Band, if you signed up for HelloFresh or we? Please let them know about it and let me know about it. It'd be a huge boost for the show. I'll be hugely thankful, and I'll try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. If you use the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsor, I'll even send you some stickers next month. So thank you so much. If you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it. Tag them on social media. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, and I'd really love to thank you on a future one. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is if you need extra support right now, there's links to resources in the show notes. And if you want to be a part of positive change, say Black Lives Matter with your actions, say Stop AAPI Hate with your actions, there's links to resources in the show notes you can connect with. And I'm looking to learn more and support more. So if you know of an organization I should know about, whether it's local or international, whatever it is, let me know about it so I can learn more and I can talk about it here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, especially if it supports the indigenous peoples of wherever you live or of wherever in the world you are right now. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Barb, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Barb.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna, like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. The best way to keep in touch with the show is to sign up for our newsletter at sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. What do you say? I slow it down and we get on with the show.
Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind you're thinking about. So thoughts, feelings, anything you're feeling, like emotionally, you know, maybe they're about thoughts, past, present, or future. Maybe they're just there. It could be physical sensations. It could be changes in time or temperature or schedule. Whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that and keep you company while you fall asleep. That's really why I'm here. And so what I'm going to attempt to do, my friends, I'm so glad you're here, by the way. New listeners, regular listeners, holy cow. Thank you for being here. If I could tuck you in or untuck you. I have an observation about getting comfortable in bed that I said, what am I going to talk about this intro? Now I know. But what I'm going to talk about, like similarities between dogs, my dog and me. But what first I'll do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. Superfluous meanders, pointless tangents, mix-ups, confusion, senseless banter. You say you've brought bantering to a whole new level, and I'm not talking about high in the sky, though sometimes I wonder about you, Scoots. And I'm like, you mean like something like, I don't know what sub-banter would be, but are you talking about sub-bantering? Because, oh boy. What do you call me when I'm talking on a submarine? I got some sub banter going, or conversations I have at the bottom of a pool when I'm having a pretend tea party, which we've talked about. That's one of my favorite. You see, Scooch, can you go back to some of your hobby? Oh, having a tea party at the bottom of a pool.
That's one of my, and I was so surprised when I shared how many listeners can relate. Now, it's not for everybody, but it is for people that like sitting on the bottom of the pool for a time, and then you sit down and you pretend to have tea. You don't actually have tea. I'm sure you could, but it would probably, you probably need a straw. Like, that would take too much work. This is more of a fantasy tea party you're having at the bottom of a pool, particularly public pools, because as long as I'm not thinking about what else is in the pool, the other teas that are in there that don't start with T, but start with P, and that stands for what's in the pool. Okay, but I got to get back to the, because that's a new tangent I just went on. I thought, but oh, so if you're new, I'm so glad you're here, as well as my regular listeners. Whether you take your tea on an airplane, on the earth, or below the sea, I'm here for you. So what I'm going to do, really, this is strange, because if you're new, there's a couple of things that are going to really throw you off. But the good news is this podcast doesn't work for everybody, but hopefully it works for you. It just fits a few puzzle pieces, but I hope you know I can fix a puzzle between you and sleep. I hope that this is the one for you. But it does take some getting used to. So most regular listeners say give it 2 or 3 tries. One of the reasons is this is a podcast you don't really listen to, and that can be hard to get used to at first. It's a podcast you say, well, it's not quite barely funny. But the stuff he said about submarining and he's partially punny. So it's a podcast you just kind of, it's like almost like background noise or a friend that calls you on the phone and you listen to them talking, but you're not paying attention. Just like this. Oh boy. Like, just like the, like if I was, if you met me in person and you weren't, you say, a tea party at the bottom of the pool, eh? Oh, tell me more. Meanwhile, you might be using your phone or, you know, whatever, watching a windmill in your brain or like break dancing or thinking about what you're going to eat. Oh boy. So you just pretend. Oh, so you do cross your legs. Wow. I didn't realize that was essential to, pretend tea parties. Tell me more. Oh boy. Wow. So that's what this podcast's listening experience is like. It also doesn't really put you to sleep. It's just here to keep you company while you fall asleep. That's why the shows are over an hour. But also, I'm here to the very end. So if you can't sleep, I'm also here to keep you company as much as I am here to put you to sleep. So I'm here for that small sliver of listeners. If that's you, you're waking up later or you just can't sleep right now, I'm going to be here to the very end because you're important. So those are a couple of things if you're new. The other things that throw new listeners off, a lot of things throw new listeners off. And those are the listeners that become regular listeners, just like all the other people it throws off. Like we're one of those stores you go, you say, well, I only went into that store once because it smelled like some sort of citrus melon. It wasn't for me and I never went back. That's kind of sleep with me. You see, this pool did not allow, it only allowed play, not swimming, only play. And I said, well, how do you, so I never went back to that pool again. So just see how it goes. Like it's just very different. Oh, the structure is also very different because our show's different, but also serves a purpose or multiple purposes. The show starts off with a greeting, so you feel welcome, ideally, and you feel seen, and you feel like your sleep is important and that you're important. Then there's a support for you, the listener, and support for the show to be free. So those are the next few minutes of the show. And even that part, I tend to ramble, there's nothing efficient about this podcast. So that's the sponsors, and then there's the intro. And the intro starts, I don't know, 6-8 minutes in the show, runs to like somewhere between 12 and 20 minutes or so. And the intro, the idea is for the regular listener, it's something new every time, but it's also familiar. They say, yeah, we're familiar that Scoots likes to have tea parties at the bottom of the pool, but he said something about something in his dog. I don't know if he's ever talked about that before. And I say, well, I just really... realized it last night, so maybe not. Or then you say, well, he thought it was new, but he's talked about it 10 times. That's what normally happens. And then I'll listen to an episode next week and I say, I just talked about that a month ago. Oh boy. Like, how many times can I talk about Oscar the Grouch's legs? And I say, oh boy, except if it was a, you know, Grouch After Dark. Okay, so then what was, oh, the intro goes on and on and on. So for the new listener, it serves to introduce you to the show. But for the regular listener, it eases them into bedtime. So as a regular listener and a new listener, you kind of get, it takes some getting used to. And then you kind of say, oh, okay, I'm going to draw before bed, or I'm going to start playing the podcast in the bathtub, or as I'm brushing my teeth and washing my face, or I'm going to get in bed and look at a comic book while I listen. The whole idea of the intro is, at least for all of us, is that going to sleep isn't efficient. That's just a reality of the show. But it's also the reality of bedtime. If I would like, I just don't know of anybody that could say, well, boy, I'm going to put you right to sleep. I feel like at least with Sleep With Me listeners, that would just be not true. I'd say this podcast is not going to really put you to sleep fast. It'll eventually you'll stop listening to me and fall asleep, because I'm here to keep you company while you drift off, which is about getting some distance and easing into bedtime. And that's what the intro does. Now, a few percentage of people skip it. There's no perfect way to skip it, but some people recommend around 20 minutes, or that's what I see in the statistics, is two or three people. And sure, you could also listen on Patreon to story-only episodes or stuff like that. So just kind of, but at first, just listen a few times and say, okay, no, I like the intro, because it lets me know it's almost ready for bed. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the story. Then we'll talk about Star Trek: The Next Generation. What a an episode that was both heartwarming and challenging. Really good episode, but I'm going to talk about it in a meandering way. So whether you've seen it or you don't even know what I'm talking about, you say, huh, that's interesting that Scoots, he really thought about that eyepiece a lot. So it'll be a bit like a bedtime story with, you know, mundane details. And then there's thank you. So that's the structure of the show. The other important things for you to know, if you're new or if you're a regular listener, is I've been there. As soon as last night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I know how it feels, and I know the strong feelings that can be there. And if I can help with that, it'd be my honor. But it even gives me deeper purpose, because if I can help you fall asleep, I really believe you deserve a good night's sleep. As a person and as a human being, especially if you've struggled with it, that you deserve some rest. And that you deserve the rest you need to live your life, and for not to be a hassle at bedtime and then feel like that the next day. And that really gives me purpose of making the show and all that. So, that's important to me. And I think that's it. I'll just wrap up with, so I just got home from, going somewhere for a week and sleeping in one of the most uncomfortable beds I've ever slept in. And it was at a house that wasn't mine, where somebody used to live there, but they hadn't sold the house or, whatever. So I was sleeping in a bed, and the pillows didn't work for me, and the mattress didn't work for me. Even though it was somewhat new and stuff, it just wasn't what I'm used to and that I like. And I couldn't get the temperature right and any of that. So whatever. And then also my dog sleeps next to me, Koa. She was sleeping on her bed. And those of you that have a cat will identify with this. A lot of times Koa will go around and she'll rub her head, and then she'll do some back rolls on a bed or on the rug. Whenever she gets someplace, I always assume it's either has something to do with smells or something. I say, what do you got to rub your smell around everything? Even if she's clean, but she does all this stuff to her bed. It's like she's if you were massaging your bed with your head and your shoulders and your back. And I've always observed it with a bit of amusement and bemusement. I never Google it, because I say I don't want to know if that's normal or abnormal. I don't need to know. You know, me and Cole, we got enough to deal with. So I don't have to say, why you got to be doing that? I mean, it's more fun to just be like, what are you doing? Hopefully that's normal dog behavior, healthy dog behavior. And let's just say it is. Don't need to email me either way. I don't want to find out. But that's always been my thing. And then I realized last night, I knew I did some of this behavior, but so last night was my first night back in my bed. And I wasn't exactly expecting like a great night's sleep just because I had driven for a long time. And then I was trying to shortened wind down, all that. But I was happy to be back in my sweet, sweet Helix. And but then I noticed as I was doing the exact same thing Koa did for about 8 minutes. But this time, instead of being like, I can't get comfortable, I was like, oh, this is some sort of genetic thing or whatever. I don't know if I inherited it from her or she inherited it from me. But, you know, I'd like put a pillow on my head. So lay there for 4 seconds. Then I'd grind my shoulder. Then I'd throw the pillow. Then I'd grab another pillow and, a tight hold in my elbow and pull it towards me. And then I'd hit my head on another pillow. Then I'd roll over, make a lot of noises. And I just was so amused with it. I said, this is exactly, no wonder you say, like, your dog does this and you do it. And I said, oh, you're right. How interesting. And that, but it also was like, normally, this is where sleep with me, I think, really works. And it's just a little bit of something you don't notice, but sometimes you do. That time I happened to notice normally I'd be getting really irritable because I'd be like, I can't get comfortable. Let me try this position. Instead, I just went full Koa. I let my limbic system take over, and I just went and every time my body said shift in a wild way, I just did it. And I've never looked back. No, but I really did. I just I tossed and turned, not with purpose, but without purpose, tossed and turned for its own. I don't even know. I don't know what was going on, but I said, okay. Instead of like analyzing and being like, okay, if I could just get this right position next, then I don't have to do any more of this friggin' tossing and turning. I just said, you want to toss some more? Go for it. What do you want to do, body? Okay, stick your elbow deep in the mattress. Then, I don't know, then fling your knee around. Now, slam your tailbone into the mattress. It's a bit like a game of that, like spin the wheel, put your sock down or whatever it's called, Twisted Fun or something. So that is why I make a sleep podcast, if you're new or you're a regular listener, and I'm glad you're here. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really do want to help you fall asleep. I mean, I think you can relate now. Now, this podcast doesn't work for everybody, so give it a few tries. If you loathe it already, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has lots of other sleep podcasts and stuff you could check out. But I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by. You're in a nice drive, so I hope I can help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do that for you for free twice a week. Thanks so much. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs the podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action kind of, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too. And that's a great thing, again, for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show, but they can't. Or there's people that would love to support the show, but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too. So thank you so much. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. We're back here with Season 5, Episode 23, I, Borg. And this was a treat because I'd never seen this episode. I didn't really know very much about it. But, as we're doing this Borg content, I said, oh boy, was this a classic episode. It was so, wow. And it starts off with a captain's log. The Enterprise goes from left to right, it looks like. I'll go through a few pages of my notes, then we'll watch. Big Sun, Data, Picard's hand on face, self-repeating, Small Moon, nod to Riker. Riker look to Worf, Rocky Winter Planet, med bag, a ship that's, leftover parts from a ship, move. WTF Borg, then the episode opens, Riker to Enterprise, Borg, dot, 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 Borg, zoom on Picard, dot, 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 anytime, something, I don't know, daytime, basically Picard says, get out of there, Dr. Crusher is kind of the voice of reason, leave no evidence, but I had already seen the show Clues, the episode Clues before this, even though I think the episode recording will come out later or something. Enterprise is not very good at picking up all their clues. They're not leaving clues behind. Beam it on board, Picard says. Geordi's going to do a subspace damping field. Worf walks, other big farm, Borg, Snow Crunch, Foley. Oh, yeah, so the Foley was so good when, especially when Worf was walking around, the Snow Crunch. Like the Foley's where, I don't know if you've ever been to one of the theme, they don't do them anymore, those theme park tours. I'm trying to think of it in either the Universal, they have it, but where you pretend you create the footsteps. Four more, sick bay versus a private room, very well, or something. Picard to Troy, his voice is very deep, residual, linger. Misphase of Borg, my face of Borg, I see. Quail, myself of you. Oh, avail myself of your help. Picard staring at a screen. Oh, yeah. So the whole time, there's a scene with Troy and Picard. We'll cover it in a minute. But Picard was so passive aggressive. He was like when people use their phones on purpose when you're talking to them, not when they're absentmindedly. I mean, I think he was subconsciously being passive aggressive. But he was looking at this readout of schematics of the Enterprise, which he said he's probably got that memorized, or if it's an update, it's not an update, he needs this moment. He just couldn't look at Troy in the eye. I mean, he did a couple times. Lower force field, maybe. Picard arrives. Damaged implant, dependent on biochips. Geordi. Interface protocols, I spelled it out like that, but it looks like proto cells, but protocols. This Borg has unique something, all to alter the park. root something for the collective, root command, terminal one. Oh, there's a by, like a, they say terminal one in a different way. And I said, that's kind of a binary joke, because they weren't saying it like terminal one. Like, so I don't know. So let's see. Captain's log 4854.2, six star systems enterprises charting. It's really coming from the back of the left screen into the right screen. And we got this sun they're looking at. Impressive. Card's kind of got his new outfit some of this episode. Then data detects a transmission. It's emanating. So many SAT words in this. Emanating. A small moon orbiting the planet. Any life signs? Indeterminate. Sensor interference. Readings inconclusive. Moon's atmosphere. Could be a distress call. Okay, take us into transport range. Dr. Crusher, meet me at transporter room 2 with medical way team. Acknowledged. Card crosses his legs. Troy looks at him. Then we have the planet. It seems like it's in a soundstage, but it still looks cool. And we got a ship with steam coming out. The way team energizes in. They're ready. Crusher's doing readouts. What looks like nowadays would be like for taking credit cards at a, like when you buy something. And they go in, they check the ship. Say the ship's landed without planning. And there's someone taking a nap under here. It's a Borg. Oh boy. Riker's hair is perfect in this episode right now. Borg's sleeping. And we go to the open. And then after the open, we, you know, Riker reports back. Small craft, one person sleeping. It's a Borg. Zoom and Picard leans forward. No indication of any Borg activity. You guys get back here now. Dr. Crusher says, we can't. We got to do some work. Then there's a debate between Crusher and Riker and Worf. And Picard, actually, she's kind of saying, no, this is our, you know, whatever. I got a duty to, you know, this, I got to put a blanket on him. If he's sleeping out here, it's kind of cold. Picard says no intervention. The Borg would know. Too late. Worf wants to do a cover-up. Leave no evidence. Well, yeah, if you watch episode Clues, you wouldn't do that. Picard takes a deep breath. Okay, Geordi, get a substation, you know, whatever. Get a room ready. We're going to Borg coming on, Borg on board. I don't know what you'd have. I guess you'd have a cube instead of a triangle. And I wonder if the Simpsons episode, instead of singing baby, you know, Borg on board, it's a collective. Something, you know, I don't know. It would take a while to think a song. And it wouldn't take a while, actually, but it wouldn't be good for a sleep podcast. Can't listen to Foley when it's on mute, but I'm watching the Worf walk on mute. Ronald Moore is co-producer of this episode. Four more. Big Farm Borg. Okay, we're going to transport it to the private room. No, med bay. No. You can get your equipment to the private room. Guard puts his arm on Data's seat. Data kind of gives him a side, like he turns, and then he looks at Troy. I never noticed that. This is like my fourth time. Wow, that was powerful. Great piece of directing and acting at 6 minutes of Data's concern and Troy's concern shared. And I guess, like, I don't need to pause it, but it basically, you know, it also validates that both of them are concerned. And then she says, anything, you having any feelings about Borg on board? Picard goes, no, we got to get work done. Don't you want to talk about it? Nope. And she goes, didn't you have to let it linger? He said, residual lingering? No. I don't have to let it linger. Like the song, I don't even know what that song's about. It's just, and she goes, well, I really, and he goes, I've thought about it now. I'm convinced, I have to do what I have to do. I'm comfortable with my choices, and choices I see. Well, if you want to talk to me any more about it, and he goes, I'll avail myself of your help. And he just goes back to pretending to look at something. Goes, let me see that model of the Enterprise turn on its side. Then we go to the private room. Beverly and another one of her staff is working. Everybody's looking on. Know who else's hair looks good? Worf's. Yeah, we've got this, you know, he's got this, his robotic implants aren't working. Picard goes, well, he can't take those out. They're dependent on biochips. Maybe Geordi can make some new ones. Geordi's like, yeah, it's just interface protocol. I downloaded the files. We see the Borg has a pretty cool eye, like a cyber eye. You can't hide that cyber eye. That's another song that could have been made about this episode. Yeah, I'm not sure. Could you put extra programming in there? Picard wants to know. I don't know. Maybe I could trace them. Let's get to the root commands here. And maybe we could make all, put a sleep mode for every Borg. And Geordi says, well, that might work. Like he goes, a sleep mode where only we have the password. And Beverly says, wait a second, where we would only have the password? What if some Borg needed to, you know, use the restroom? They don't use the restroom, Beverly. What if they did and they wanted to wake up and go to the restroom? So then we go to an ad because Picard's glaring. Then we have a meeting about it, and Geordi says, yeah, I can do it. They'll all be asleep in their ship, sound asleep, totally comfortable. And Beverly says, I don't know. And Data says, she goes, I think we should be clear about this. This is like not some rich person paying 20,000 big ones for cryo. You know, this is, or somebody putting their own computer on sleep mode. When you're putting somebody else's computer on sleep mode, when you have the password, you're going into an admin situation and where you're not an admin. And they say, yeah, but this is a situation where we're comfortable being the admin. And she goes, how convenient. And she goes, you know what? Well, I don't see some sort of server that you have a disagreement with. I see a boy who likes to play computer games named Will. And they say, well, and she goes, or like Will. And but Picard goes, you know what, if we can put it to the whole Borg mainframe on sleep mode, we have to. And then they call and they say, Borg's woken up, better check on him. And Picard goes, proceed with plan. Then the Borg is doing this, you should check it out. It's 10 minutes in, doing a miming routine. Great acting. Trying to find an access terminal. Picard has his jacket outfit on. Doesn't understand. He's cut off. Geordi's like, he's trying to send a subspace beacon and a homing beacon. But, you know, my dampening fields are working. Geordi has a globe-type sensor. And Picard's like, he's working without the collective. Beverly, Dr. Crusher, says he must be hungry. They say, well, they don't eat. And she goes, yeah, they synthesize organic molecules. You know, like a bit of like a plant, like a plant that consumes electricity, energy. Picard goes, Geordi, arrange to feed it. He's still calling it it. And we get another zoom on Geordi. And I'll have to adapt a power conduit, put it in there. And Beverly says, you know, I think this thing's nervous. It can't log on. It's trying to log on basically to the, you know, to the Wi-Fi, its own Wi-Fi. Okay, then we have some fencing going on. It's Guinan and Picard. And Picard's aggro takes off. He says, and Guinan says, I don't even think I like playing this game. He goes, last week you liked it when you won. And she goes, today you're dropping the foil, letting me inside. She goes, well, if I lift it up, you go underneath. You're better at it than I am. A lot of subtext here. And she goes, yeah, do we got a guest on board? Borg on board, eh? Yep. She goes, what? And he goes, I don't know. And she goes, oh, I thought I understood you, but I don't understand this. And he goes, well, Dr. Crusher is a humanitarian. I thought we all were, but right now I'm not feeling that way. And she goes, don't you know the Borg are not, you know, and he goes, let's play again. And there's a zoom on Guinan. Well, Guinan thinks about things. She sighs and stands, and then they go back into the arena. And I don't know if they get replaced with stunt people, because if they do, like, this is really seamless. And they go back and forth, and then Guinan fakes, like, a hamstring pull. Or is that what it is? Yeah, hamstring. And uses it to get the advantage on Picard. You felt sorry for me. Look what it got you. Dun, dun, dun. Picard glares. Then Geordi and Worf go to visit Iborg. And they got like, Geordi's got to install the feeding conduit. And Worf goes, I'll follow the commander, reactivate the field once we're through. It's kind of like what you'd hook an electric car up to. I guess that's how the Borg would synthesize bioenergy. They have a bit of a stare down, and Geordi goes, okay, stay that way. Geordi's got some attitude at first, and it looks like it's pretty straightforward install. Like, they do have some modularity to the ship. The Borg kind of walks through towards Geordi, but in a curious way, in great facial acting. Who performs the group? I'm sorry. Is it by Jonathan Del Arco? Let's just take a look here. 3 of 5. Really amazing. Let's see. Looks like was in The Closer in 2005. Tea with Alice. But really, wow. I mean, just a great performance. The amount of work facially. Says, we are Borg to Geordi. You'll be assimilated. While Geordi's working, resistance is futile. And Geordi goes, look around, pal. You can't make any demands. You're not in a position to do so. And it says, we must return to the collective. Geordi gets irritated. Who's we? We are Borg, it answers. Worf looks at Geordi. And Geordi goes, yeah, there's only one of you, though. There's no we in one. And he goes, do you have a name? Means of identification. Says 3 of 5. Geordi goes, okay, there's 5 on your ship. You were 3rd. Is that it? Just a number? 3 of 5. And Geordi goes, yeah, it kind of suits you. And then he finishes up. You could see the zipper on Geordi's shirt. I wonder how he gets zipped in when he's solo. Geordi goes, yeah, you should be able to connect to this and get some energy to synthesize. Cool hologram look to Geordi's, or to the cyber eye of the Borg. Geordi and Worf step out. Geordi goes forwards. Worf goes backwards. Very balletic, like a ballet artist, is Worf stepping out backwards. He has to step over something. I wouldn't have done that. But the Borg is definitely concerned. It slowly makes its way to the electricity and gets some. Everybody watches it. Let me see my notes. Conference room, total systems failure. Troy looks on, but she takes their side. Oh, it comes down to this. It's like, that reminds me of a song. Anything we can, you know, to keep the, like, you know, we're about humans, and known entities, something to Captain Borg mime action. He must be hungry. She gets a look, energy, arranged to feed it,
something second to son of something. Picard Guinan, humanitarian reasons. Go again. Guinan thinks size, fakes him out to make a point. Picard mask off. Geordi and Worf go in. Geordi goes to work. Borg moves. Worf worries. Who's we? One of you? Your name? Third of five. It does suit you. This is your welcome. Let's get out of here. Worf backs out drama music with a bit of Epcot Center. Borg feeds. He's something hungry. All right. Maybe somebody says that. Geordi and Crusher running tests. A bit of a disagreement. Energize Borg to that circle elevator treatment thing that Data and Wall have been on. Maybe others. Intros. Third of five. Dr. Crusher. I save you. Why my duty? You give us food. Your duty? Test. He looks back out. Garth. Names. Demonstrations. Do I have a name? A name. You, your. That's it. Hugh. Not you. Hugh. Like Hugh Grant. I something. I Geordi. You're Hugh. We're Hugh. Some tests, spiral activity, complex, visceral information, visual information here. Like when you are assimilated, you will have a similar device. What will be done with us? Send you home, rejoin the collective. Oh boy. Geordi talking to Guinan. You named the Borg, a Borg named you. That's another song that could be Lost Child. Second thoughts. When Big Brother comes, no soul searching. What did you talk to him? She turns. Why don't you just listen? Oh boy. Bridge visual hard this way. Oh, visual craft, cubicle 7.6, the Borg scout ship, 31 hours, 7 minutes, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, then Guinan and Hugh, is she a Time Lord? Which is, the answer is no, because there was only last of the Time Lords, but pretty close. You're lonely. We are also lonely. Then we see the ship go left to right up. Geordi scanning Hugh with a plane-looking device or something. Well, like one of those ones used to guide a plane into park. Why? Tell them that's human nature, that's why. Geordi has to show patience, then he gets hot about the details. I am Geordi. When you sleep, no other voices? Are you even lonely? Geordi's alone. Friends, the slow, like, something, Hugh, oh boy, parody, Sharpie, some of this I can't quite read, but what, paradox, shape, oh yeah, try to analyze it, anomalies, unsolvable puzzle, 20 hours, very well, Data leaves Geordi, stays behind, getting to know him, know all about him, unattach yourself, I, sir. Picard enrobed, Guinan. My foil was dipping. Strong forearm. About the Borg, she sits. His name is Hugh, and he's lonely. You sure you're doing the right thing? Picard blows up, but Guinan does not back down. Picard is very logical and annoyed, intractable, says fine, but then the Enterprise moves from left to right in the middle of screen, maybe. Picard paces in his office, ready. He takes a breath.
proceed, Worf and Hugh, like a comedy, it literally is, because of the difference in sizes, like a ventriloquist. Like, Worf looks like a ventriloquist, and Hugh looks like Chester Drawers. Locutus, what's up? Picard stunned. Yes, we are Hugh. I love how his eyes move as he's processing things. He does not wish it. Borg paces. No, not Geordi. Geordi's a friend. You'll see, this is part I really got choked up on, like the second or third watch even. You'll assist us. I will not. What did you say? I will not assist you. I, you're Borg. Not, I am Hugh. Then there's commercial. Picard stares out the window. Something talk. Individualism as a singularity. Pernicious program of all knowledge is self. Individualism is a singularity. Pernicious program. Knowledge is self. What if he doesn't want to go back? Hugh and the fish, Picard and Geordi. I wish, what I wish is irrelevant. What I wish is not important. Choice. Then this part, I could stay with you, like roomies. I would choose to stay with Geordi. And this could be amazing, Geordi. You know, it could have been a Star Trek sitcom, Geordi and Hugh. Like, it could even take from The Incredibly Shrinking Woman, like that song Galaxy Glue. If you rewrote it with Geordi and Hugh, that would be the opening. So Ronald Moore, I know you're like got way more successful stuff going, but if you're interested and you're listening at whatever 45 minutes in the show, give me a ring. Like, I don't know what you know, it'd be easy to set up. I guess if it's a situation comedy, they could run like a fix-it station on the edge of the universe or something. Sound effects are great. Geordi. Something cable sit easy way sound effects so subtle. The Enterprise does like a kind of a smiley face motion across the screen. Transporter goodbyes. Geordi would like to go. Geordi and Hugh head out. Everyone long shot Picard. Geordi and Hugh. This is where I will wait. Then the Enterprise moves again from lower left past the planet or the sun to the upper right. In position, hold us here 3 minutes. This is it so long. Goodbye, Geordi. I'll try to remember you. There, song. Geordi walks off. Borg show up. They tap under Hugh or something. And then they all walk off. First, they collect some stuff from the Borg, Big Farm Borg. Oh, yeah, they get equipment from the other Borg. They go by. And Orr has, one of them had a barbell mustache. And they engine out, and I guess they energize out. I guess the episode ends there. We'll find out, though, because we're only at 16 minutes up above me. Let's see. So, yeah, Hugh's filling up. Why do you do this? Geordi says, I'm a nice guy at heart. Feeling better? You're not Borg. That's right. I hope we stay that way. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. Geordi looks at Worf. Worf grimaces and almost like a growls a little bit. Nice bed, though, in the room. Like a combination day bed, twin bed, extra long twin. And so then Geordi and Dr. Crusher, Commander LaForge and Dr. Crusher, they're kind of having a disagreement. Geordi's like, well, I got to command, I got to learn this sleep program. Only way I can know how to do that is to give him some perceptual tests, and I need his cooperation. And Beverly says, so you can lock them out of their server in sleep mode. Well, it's just what we got to do, Geordi says. Dr. Crusher says, well, I don't like it. Okay, transport them in. If there's any trouble, you could use a force field over there. Ready. Then they send Hugh in. Energize. Wait, Hugh and some sort of guard. Hugh looks around. Geordi steps up. He's got a red pad thing. Does some things on the round. Crusher, she's up against the handrail watching. Hugh does a mime thing there, too. I just noticed. 35, Dr. Crusher. Dr. Crusher, 35. Hello, who's this guy in the back? Never mind. What's the doctor? Helps out, repairs. And says, well, in the Borg, we just take over for somebody like that. And she goes, well, that's not what happened to you. We repaired you back to operating mode. Why? It's my duty to help those. And why does Geordi give us food? Yep, I do. Is that your duty? He goes, my duty's, you know, don't worry about where my duty is, 35. You know, Dr. Crusher helped your chip, biochips, and now we want to make sure we're working, run some tests, show you some diagrams and ask you some questions. Simple stuff. He goes, yeah, but you're going to be assimilated. And Geordi goes, yeah, but before your assimilation, and can we ask him? Sure, we'll answer him. Terrific. Geordi says, all right, hang on. 35. What's your designation? My designation? 35. Our names? We don't have designations. We have names. Beverly says, I'm Beverly. This is Geordi. Do I have a name? What do you want, a name? A name. I'm Beverly. He's Geordi. And you, I keep saying you. And that gives Geordi brainstorm. That's it. We'll call him Hugh, like Hugh Grant. And they say, okay, Hugh. He goes, okay, I guess I'm Hugh then. And Beverly's happy about that. And even Geordi's amused. We are Hugh. They'll, like, get a kick out of it. They start giggling. Then we see Enterprise pretty much center screen with the planet behind it. Then they're showing them these shapes and turning them inside out. I don't think I would be able to pass any of these. Some sort of spatial relations type thing. See, what it would be like. And he got 8 out of 8. I would have got, let's see, he got 0 out of 0. Spatial acuity percentiles. It's a prosthetic eye, Geordi says. He gets complex visual information, holographic even. And Geordi says, can I check out your eyepiece, Hugh? And Hugh says, sure, it's just like a camera a little bit. Check it out, man. It's, you know, magnetic down there. Geordi first is like, what? He goes, one day you'll get a similar advice when your device, and when you're assimilated. And Beverly goes, we don't want to be assimilated. He goes, why? Because we don't want to live in a collective like you do. And he goes, well, it's quiet here. There's no other voices. And he says, on the Borg ship, well, you got all the other people thinking in your mind at the same time. And I said, that's what my mind is like. It's not quiet like Hugh's thinking. But Beverly says, oh, are you lonely because there's not as much action? Geordi gives Hugh his eyepiece back. And he goes, when you've completed these tests, what will be done with us? And Geordi goes, oh boy, awkward. Well, we're going to install a program to lock you out of your mainframe. No, he goes, we'll send you home. We'll rejoin the collective. And Beverly says, huh, uncomfortable. And Geordi pretends to go back to work. Then he's talking to Guinan. He's saying, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it at first, but now I'm working with Hugh. That's where she says, you named it Hugh? Named the Borg. And he goes, yeah, it's easier to, you know. And she goes, okay, so you have a Borg named Hugh. And he says, I don't know. And that's when he's like, they get into, she goes, it's not a child. And he says, well, maybe you should go talk to it. I don't got anything to say to it. And he goes, well, why don't you just go and listen? And he goes, that's what you do best, isn't it? A little bit harsh. And then there's a like a long profile shot of Guinan. And then we have a meeting on the bridge. Vessel's coming in, not that long out. We got to get to cubicle. You know, we got to get to work. Then Guinan goes to visit Hugh. You don't look so tough. Hugh comes to the thing. What is tough? All his aim is, you know, leather and rubber. We're Borg. And she goes, aren't you going to tell me you got to assimilate me, assimilate us? And he goes, you want to be assimilated? She goes, no. But she goes, resistance is futile, huh? And he goes, yeah. And such great acting. I mean, really nails like the subtext all this. Which is a little bit of a, like, I don't know. But like I said, wait a second, is this the easy way out for everybody? But she goes, yeah, well, you know, we had to get scattered across the universe because of you, or the galaxy. And we don't even have a home anymore. But Hugh looks down very boy-like and says, oh, you're lonely? Hugh's lonely too. She goes, what? And he goes, you have no others around. You have no home. And he goes, we are also lonely. And Guinan is kind of speechless, just stares. It's like, again, all in the face, all so much depth. Then we got Hugh getting another scan from Geordi. What is Geordi doing? A lot of whys, studying you. Why? We're going to do this. Why? Trying to learn more about you. Why? But it actually, it's interesting because it's childlike, but it's also like Geordi doesn't want to admit why. We're different than you. Part of what we do is learn more about other species. He goes, we assimilate a species, then we know everything. And Geordi goes, yeah, I got it, man. He goes, isn't that easier? Geordi goes, this isn't what we do, okay? Why? And Geordi gets exasperated. He goes, all right, think of it this way. Every time you talk about yourself, you two use the word we. We want this, we want that. You don't even think of yourself as an individual. You don't say, I want this or I am Hugh. He goes, we're all separate individuals and I am Geordi. I choose what I want. I make my decisions. And he goes, I don't want to lose that individuality. It'd be worse than anything, worse than sleeping. And then that's when I say, when you sleep, there's no other voices. And he goes, who will be with you when you're lonely? Geordi goes, well, friends. Then they do this thing where Geordi and Data show how they're going to use this paradoxical geometric form. Really brilliant short sequence, this paradoxical shape that doesn't exist, but that the Borg will try to figure out anyway. This happens on my computer every time I boot up two programs at once. And it has to go into sleep mode. The Borg will do the same thing. It's like, okay, we're going to put Chrome on your computer and backup program Scooter uses at the same time. And even though you have plenty of resources, you won't have any after that. That's the same thing for the Borg. And you say, well, why don't you just use a different browser? You say, well, it's still my preferred browser, even though it doesn't. And they say, well, okay, when can you get started? 20 hours. We just got to make sure, with double check with Dr. Crusher. Very well, get to work. But Geordi stays behind. He goes, yeah, I'm not comfortable with this anymore. I'm having second thoughts. Getting to know him, know all about him. Picard says, the Borg? And he goes, it's not what I expected, Captain. He's got feelings, and he's homesick. And Geordi goes, I don't know. I don't think this is right. And Picard goes, you know what? Something, he goes, you're having reverse syndrome, you know, you're getting too close for comfort. unattach yourself from Borg, Mr. LaForge. See, this isn't the Jean-Luc we know and love. And then we see him in his robe when Guinan shows up and says, you know, strong forearm or not, this Borg's got a name. And maybe before you program him, you should go talk to him first. He's lonely. I didn't want to see him. I didn't think it was a good idea. But now I can't unsee his individuality. So maybe you need to go and talk to him. And they go back and forth. She goes, fine. He goes, fine. Then they stare each other down. And then we see Picard in his office pacing. Worf to Picard, ready to energize, ready to transport. And they proceed. They send in Worf and Hugh. That's where they look like a team. Picard sends Worf out. Says, let me talk to him one-on-one here. Wait outside. And Hugh goes, Locutus, what the heck? You're not even... Picard plays it to his advantage. He goes, yeah, totally. I'm Locutus undercover. And he goes, you ready to shake stuff up? I'm Locutus of Borg. He goes, why are you here? Totally undercover. Primitive culture that needs assimilating. Are you ready to do some A-double-S-I-M-L-ation? He goes, who are you? Hugh. No. Who are you really? The Borg, Hugh. No, that's not a Borg word. He goes, oh, I guess I'm 35, if you want to get technical. And he goes, yeah, we're going to do some assimilation. And the Borg looks down. No, they don't want to be assimilated. Irrelevant, Picard says. Yeah, but they're going to resist. It's futile. And Hugh says, no, it's not. It's not. Regina told me about it. You know, it's not pleasant, but yeah. And Picard goes, well, it's inevitability. And he goes, even Geordi? No. Must Geordi be assimilated? And he goes, no, Geordi does not wish it. He said it would be worse in this when he starts pacing, which I guess, wow, what a choice. No, Geordi would rather not be assimilated. He goes, well, then I'll have to big farm it. And Hugh says, no. And it just in a childlike way, he says, no big farm ever for Geordi. He's my friend. And Picard goes, you're going to assist us. Or I'm going to, you know, look at how strong my jaw is. You're a Borg. You will assist. And Hugh says, I will not. He says, what? And he goes, yeah, I will not assist you. And he says, aye. And he goes, Geordi will not be assimilated. Picard, you're your Borg. And he goes, no, I'm Hugh. I am Hugh. And Picard goes, oh boy. We're through the looking glass, people. And we go to Ad. He comes back. He's staring out the window. Yeah, maybe this was all, I didn't want to think about it. But now that I have, we're in a pickle here. He's a fully realized individual. And we all know what that means. Even accepted me as Picard, captain of the ship, and not Locutus. And they go, yeah, well, what about our plan? Well, I can't use it, because it'd be worse. And he goes, what are our other options? The Riker goes, put him on the crash site and remove his memory of having been on the Enterprise. Beverly goes, but then you can't, then he won't remember being Hugh. Isn't that the point? He'd be go back in the hive. Geordi goes, no, he's an individual. We can't take that away from him. Beverly says, what are the Borg going to do? Guard goes, I doubt it. They could wipe it out. And then Riker goes, well, either way, his memory will be erased. But Picard goes, but wait, what about before they get rid of his memory? They get the sense of individuality he's gained with us, transmitted through the Borg collective. And everybody, what if they had the opportunity to be in singularity of individuality, the pernicious program, as they said, great alliteration. And Picard's very pleased with this. That would be cool. Knowledge of self being spread throughout the collective in that brief moment, alter them forever. And he goes, huh, I think this is a brilliant idea. Leave his memory intact. Then Beverly says, I got a question. What if he doesn't want to go back? And Riker goes, huh. And Picard goes, huh. And then they go to talk to Hugh. Picard and Geordi. Hello, Hugh. Hello, Geordi. The Borg rescue vessel's coming, buddy. It'll be here in 3 hours, and we can send you back, and they could take you home, or you could stay with us. You could live with Geordi now. And he goes, what I wish is irrelevant. And Geordi goes, no, it's not. Matters to us. And he goes, yeah, you can't leave the collective. They're going to keep looking. We'll deal with the repercussions later. We must know what you want. He goes, you're many, I'm one. Why would you give up for just a little old Hugh? What I want's not important. And he goes, yeah, that's what choice is, though. And a choice, he goes, do you want to go back with the Borg or stay with us? And he goes, stay with you, Geordi, be my roommate. And he thinks about this. And again, then he paces, looks out the window. Choose what I want. But then he says, okay, well, I got to do what's best for Geordi. I would choose to stay with Geordi, but it won't work. So got to choose to go back, I guess, which is a frowny face moment. But it's what I got to do. It's the only way. Geordi says, think about it. He goes, I can think a billion times more per second. Are you sure? No, I'm not sure, but for a second I thought it was Data. But yeah, I'm sure about going back. So we get another space shot, and they say, okay, let's get everything parked. We'll go to the transporter room. We'll say our goodbyes. We got about an hour. We'll head home, take up a position in the chromosphere so we can watch. Beverly goes, great, goodbye, work, goodbye, Hugh. It was great getting to know you. He goes, goodbye, Beverly. You did great. Thanks for fixing me up. Geordi goes, Hugh, it's not too late to change your mind and be my roommate. He goes, well, I think I'd rather return and have my memory erased, Geordi. No offense. And Geordi goes, well, I'd like to say goodbye to him with him. Try to talk him back into being my roommate. You'll be safe because they assimilate civilizations, not individuals. Well, how come this is all the, like, writing? Well, how come you were Locutus? Oh, because I was, like, a spokesperson. So let's send Hugh and Geordi down. Picard says goodbye. And Hugh says, Captain, I do not want to forget that I am Hugh. Picard takes a big breath. Says, that just energized me, but energized the transporter. Goes back to his face again. He lowers his head slowly in thought. They go back to the icy planet. We get some Foley action. Because of the Borg outfits, Hugh walks pretty. Snow's not the best place for Borg to be walking. They walk a bit like Herman Munster. It's like, I say, what are they? And I say, that's how Herman Munster walks. We're on the bridge. Everybody's in position. It's kind of like a reverse surprise party. Surprise, there's Hugh, just where you thought you'd find him. It's, yeah, they're de-surprising or something. Borg vessels in zone. Geordi says, well, I guess this is it, Hugh. You don't want to be my roommate, huh? So long. Goodbye, Geordi. I'll try to remember you. No, I love Geordi, but says I'll try to remember you, but maybe I'll remember other people. And Geordi walks off and says, man, I'm just being myself. I like it. Scoots likes me. Then one, the two come in. One of them looks like it has a barbell mustache. I think it's just the way it's shot, like the film. And they lock into Hugh. They do some sort of bio check. And they say, okay, you're Hugh for sure. And then they kind of march off, the three of them. Barbell mustache and the other and Hugh. They take the leftover equipment from the big farm Borg, which makes them go back, you know, go to the get downloaded to the mainframe in the sky. And the Borg stand together. Hugh's definitely very stiff, even for a Borg. And Geordi watches. Hugh blinks once. And as he de-energizes, he looks over at Geordi and says, we could have been neighbors. And it ends. And then the Enterprise crosses the screen on our top left over us. And the episode ends. So thanks for this journey with me through the next generation. Good night. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently. Bionic Blaze wants episodes that are non-explicit. We actually don't have any. It's just a long story, but I've been working on trying to get the explicit tag removed. So hopefully by the time you hear this, I've successfully done that. Pizza Guy, 999. So I don't fall asleep listening to podcasts, but good job. WD Catster says, I finally had a good sleep. Thanks, Scoots. Amazing. Arlo and Invimir from Canada said, wow, you're doing a great service helping us sleep. Cass and Addison, we appreciate you. Thank you. Petting Zoo with a Z from Canada said, comforting ramblings, gateway to sleep, don't need help falling asleep, but when I do, Scoots is there to help usher me into dreamland. Thank you. Judy G from Canada says, instantly helps me sleep. It does what it says it's due. I think I've heard a whole episode 3 times. I've been a subscriber 3 or 4 years. So relaxing. So thank you for that. Artemis Fowl Jr. works too well. I can't remember the last time I got through the intro, so that's good. Mellow Yellow 21, 12Z. So couldn't tell you the content of even one of these episodes because I always fall asleep before the actual episode starts. Thanks. Caribbean says, once upon a sleepy time, my son got me on this podcast a couple of years ago. Knowing I've been an insomniac, I doubted it would work, but it did from the first to listen. Shocked and happy for first year over and over again with sleep. First, I tried skipping the ads, but now they're rebel. They're not a rebel. Okay. So thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people support the show directly or support our sponsors. That's just how we're able to be here for each twice a week. And then the listeners who spread the word about the show or podcasts in general is a huge help. So I appreciate that. And here's a little bit more about us spreading the word about the show. Thanks. All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar. If you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version 2. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, an All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.